The rest of us are from Raglan Town. We or Auckland, yeah. We're not biased, but we think this is the best place in the world. So welcome to our paradise, you guys. It's good to have you with us. And I think we should start our service today by giving thanks to God for that refreshing rain that we had this week. Now, those of you that are camping and trying to have a holiday, and just, we'll pray for you as well. But you know, last week we were talking about this and just the need for the farms to get some rain, and the countryside's already greened up, isn't it? Have you noticed? There's a change of colour, and it's just such a blessing. We had guys up here last week just seeking God and praying for that, and we've had an answer this week. So I think we should just pause, and actually I think we should stand up and just thank God together for just His goodness to us as we start a new year. You know, hey, what a blessing God has been to us already. Lord God, we just want to humbly come before You, and we just want to say we love You and we thank You for Your goodness to us, for Your favor, for Your grace, and just for the refreshing rain that has been poured out over our farms and the countryside over this past week. And Lord God, we just realize again how dependent we are on Your goodness and Your love to us, and we thank You for that. We just pray for those that perhaps have had some disruption this week with a bit of flooding and so on and so forth. We just pray for just Your blessing on them as well. And we pray for that honey crop that will come in well. And we just thank You for the abundant season that we're coming into. And we pray that would spill over and flow over into our families, our Christian life, our church life, and that we just see many, many people coming into Your house and into Your kingdom in 2018. We thank You, Jesus, for what You're doing. Amen. Amen. Well, bless you guys. Just be seated. I've just got a fairly simple message today as we start the new year. And we're in Colossians chapter 2 now. We've actually moved through chapter 1. And we're going to read that together. And just a few thoughts around this. I think it's good for us just to dig into God's Word right as we start the year, and just see what we can draw out of this. And I believe that God has got something for us this morning as a people and as His church. And so let's just read it together, and we'll talk about it after this. From verse 1, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Christians, to the church at Colossae, and apparently he had never actually been there to that church, and Laodicea was just not too far away, just a few kilometers away. And I just want to go through this and just dissect it a little bit, talk about it, think about it, and hopefully encourage us today in our faith. Let's look again at verse 1. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. The Apostle Paul says he was struggling. I mean, last week we talked about the tension between, you know, the blessing and the work and the struggles and so on that sometimes we can experience. But here he continues on this whole idea of struggling. And actually it's a military term that's used there. It's almost like a severe conflict that the Apostle Paul is in. And he's really is struggling. It's like he had a great concern for the people there, for the churches at Colossae and Laodicea. And even though he hadn't been there, and he didn't know the people personally, he still had a real burden for them, didn't he? Although he obviously knew some of them. He knew Philemon, if we remember. Remember, Onesimus had come from there, and Philemon had the church in his home. He was probably one of the leaders in Colossae in the church there. So Paul did have a link there, but he hadn't actually been and seen the work firsthand. But he'd obviously heard about it, probably through Onesimus, who'd the runaway slave, and others who'd been to Rome, because by now, of course, Paul was imprisoned in Rome. And even though he was a long way away, he still had a strong stirring in his spirit for these people. And there he was imprisoned in Rome, miles away. And yet, so how could Paul possibly struggle for them when he was, probably hundreds, if not 1,000 kilometers or more away? And obviously, Paul must have been praying, struggling in prayer and intercession and wrestling for them, wrestling with God for them on their behalf. And I was just a little thought that even sometimes if we're miles away, or completely removed from a situation, we can actually still have an influence, can't we? If we've got family overseas, if we've got people in other cities, other towns, and we know that there's problems for them, we know that they're struggling, and we get a sense in our spirit we should be doing something, the very best thing we can do is to pray. And that's what Paul was doing. He wasn't just praying a little quick, comfortable prayers. He was wrestling. He was struggling. He was interceding for them. And I think this is just something to remember as we come into this new year, that we can still have a big influence in situations and people's lives, and even in governments and decisions that are made. And if we are faithful, the Bible tells us if God's people will humble themselves and seek His face and pray, then he will heal the land. Isn't that awesome? God, I think he's wanting to bless. He's wanting to pour out his goodness. He's wanting to pour out his love. But he's just waiting for us to take the initiative. And I think that's a little bit what's been happening with the farmers lately. We've been getting desperate enough to pray and to really intercede and to seek God. And that's when God hears us, isn't it? When we actually humble ourselves and do that. And so Paul took the time to pray for these people. But he didn't just pray for them. What else did he do? He wrote a letter. That's what we're reading here. This is he did something practical as well. I mean, prayer and intercession and wrestling and prayer is practical, but sometimes we've got to do what we can do as well. And so here we see Paul. He was praying, he was interceding, he was wrestling in prayer, and he was writing to these people. Why was he doing this? What was the burden that God had laid so strongly on his heart for these people in Colossae there in Laodicea? And verse 2, I think, gives us some clues. My purpose is, we're getting to the part in the letter where we're actually starting to realize why he wrote the letter in the first place, why he was writing it. This is what Paul says. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. So that's that gives us a little clue as to why Paul was writing to them, why he was so concerned, why he was interceding. So there's three things here that he mentions. First of all, that they may be encouraged. Secondly, that they may be united in love, like what Hannah was talking about, sense of love and unity. And thirdly, that they may have complete understanding. Clearly, there's been some discouragement in the church at Colossae and Laodicea. There's been some disunity. There's been some arguments. There's been some strife. There's been some vying for whatever. Sometimes that can happen in church life. And there's confusion about something. There's been some confusion. And so Paul is pressing in prayer for encouragement for these people, for love and unity for them, for understanding for them, because he wants them to be prospering. He wants them to be blessed. And, the Bible tells us that, when God's people dwell together in unity, God pours out a blessing, doesn't he? And so I think it's such a key thing. He knew that things weren't going well. And he wanted he really wanted to lift their spirits. He wanted to draw them together as one. He wanted to help them understand something important, which was, Let's get into the next part of verse 2. That they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. And then in verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then on to verse 4, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine sounding arguments. See, what we know from history and looking back and from reading in this letter and so on, that there'd been problems with false teachers coming through, traveling around the churches, teaching things that actually the Apostle Paul and others who had started these churches hadn't taught them. There was teaching that was so-called deeper truths. There was mysteries about God that these guys would go around. It'd be all mysterious, and then they'd sort of reveal something amazing. People go, wow, this is cool. This is new. This is different. And there was wisdom and knowledge that they would be talking about that had been supposedly previously unknown. The sad thing is that new teaching, and it was called Gnostic teaching, and there was a whole, if you study it and you look into it, and I've a little bit, but not that much, there's different ways of thinking about this. It's a different way of thinking about God. It's different understandings. It's a different way of thinking about Jesus. And it goes all the way from liberal thinking, where actually anything's all right, to things where actually you need to be doing this, you need to be doing that, so on and so forth. It's just really, really confusing stuff. And this had brought confusion to the churches. And what does confusion bring? It brings disunity and argument and discouragement, because people were saying different things. Some of them say, oh, no, Paul's never taught us that. Others say, oh, look, this is new. This is exciting. We should be embracing this. We should be learning this stuff. This is new mysteries, new revelation, deeper teaching. And, some of them were seeing angels and talking about that. And there's all sorts of things going on. And so no wonder the church was discouraged and disunity. And no wonder the Apostle Paul was concerned, right? Because he was responsible overall. I mean, Philemon and the leaders, they were responsible. They probably didn't know what to do about this. They weren't confident or strong enough to say, come on, guys, this is the way we're going. This is right and that's wrong. But they were obviously confused themselves. So they were looking to their leader, who was the Apostle Paul. That's why he was so concerned, and because he knew it was dangerous and destructive what was happening. And, I was just thinking about it in 2018. How much different is it really? You know, there's so many ideas out there, and I want to talk about that a little bit in a minute. But wrong teaching can have such a flow on of damage. And Paul's message, I think it's just as relevant for us today as it was back then. Remember, he was speaking to people that he hadn't met. He was writing to people that he hadn't met back then, many of them. And he's writing to us, and he hasn't met us. I mean, obviously he's been gone for a couple of thousand years. But I believe it's just as relevant for us as we start 2018 as it was for the Christians in the early church there in Colossae and Laodicea. And I think the message that Paul was bringing here to these people and to us is that we need to keep the main thing, and not get distracted on all sorts of other issues and other things. And what is that main thing? Any ideas? Yeah, Paul talked about it in that, namely Christ. He talked about it. You see, these Gnostic teachers, these people that were bringing confusion, they were the ones talking about mysteries. You see, they were talking about hidden treasures and wisdom and knowledge that only they knew. So Paul was coming in with the same language, and he was just wiping the whole lot out and saying, look, actually, it's all about Jesus. And forget about the fine-sounding arguments and the deceptive stuff and all the cunning and trickery that these guys are bringing in and the confusion that they're bringing in. Get back to the center of everything, which is Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was saying to these guys. And I think he's saying it to us as well. Because, you know, we live in a world where there's a lot of information available to us, isn't there? We can go online, we can listen to messages from all around the world, from all different kind of teachings and churches and cults and all sorts of things. We can get so confused. Social media, there's a lot of pressure. There's all kinds of things demanding our attention. And even in the so-called Christian community. I mean, over the years, we've seen so many sort of trends and fads, and this is the latest thing, this is what we've all got to be doing, and we've all got to be learning about this, and this is the latest revelation, and this person's got a different anointing, and you know, there's all sorts of amazing things. We need to be chasing after this guy and that guy, and you know, there's so many fads and fashions. It can bring confusion, actually. If it's not from God, it can actually do a lot of damage. This year, I think there's going to be temptation for us to get distracted. And it might be just simply with busyness. It might be just the pressures of life. It might be, you know, seeking after worldly stuff or whatever. There's going to be temptations. It always has been. But I just get a sense that 2018 is going to be a little bit more challenging in this area than perhaps what we've experienced before. And right at the beginning of the year, I just felt God wanted me to bring this, that don't go this way or that. Don't go seeking after the dramatic stuff or the secret stuff or the mysteries or the hidden stuff. I mean, we all know that fresh things and new things are good, and we don't want to get stale. We need our creative guys in the church. We've got a lot of creative guys here that then they like to bring new stuff, new ways of doing things. And I think that's awesome. We need to stay fresh, but let's not get into often to tangents where we start getting into new different teachings and so on. Because I think there's going to be pressure to do that, and I believe that God is saying to us at the start of this year, stay on track, stay on the course that you've begun with Jesus, the teachings that we've heard in the past. You know, we've given our lives to Jesus, many of us. We've been baptized. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit. We're on a track with God, aren't we? Most of us. And if we're not, we can get on that track. And I believe God is saying to us, don't get off it. Don't go this way and that. Don't go seeking after new, dramatic, more exciting things. Because actually, you know, the mystery that we really need to be embracing is Jesus and his power and his authority in our lives. So we need to stay on track. And there's a few things. I've just got four simple points. I think, number one, we need to keep making church a priority in 2018. You know, it's very, very easy to get a bit casual, to get busy, to have other things come in. And it's probably not so easy for us when you're the pastors. You've got no choice but to stay focused on this, stay on track. But I'll tell you what, it's good for me. It's good for me to be here every week. I know it's good for Cheryl and me and our family to be a part of God's house here. I think that's the number one thing. If we're going to really stay on track as in 2018, I think the number one thing is we need to stay in relationship with each other. Relationship in God's family, in his house, wherever that might be for you, wherever God has called us to be. Let's not get casual, because we might find we're probably okay, but what I tell you what happens if we're solid and we've been grown up in the faith and we've been baptized and we know how to read our Bible and so on and so forth, we might be fine. I tell you what I've noticed happens, it's the next generation that misses out, because our example is not there, our influence is not there, and they follow us. And instead of going to church, we go down to the cafes, or we go fishing, or we don't make Sunday worship a priority. And before long, we wonder why all our kids are not interested in God anymore. We're our grandkids, even if we're just doing it for them. I just want to encourage you guys, make church a priority this year. Make being together in God's house with your family one of the number one things that you do. Don't have options each week. Just that's what we do as a family. Okay, that's number one. Pretty easy. We can do that, can't we? We're all here today at the start of the year. That's a great start. Let's bring some others along. Let's keep it up, guys. Number two, we need to keep reading God's word, don't we? And it's so easy to get busy and to leave it, and the Bible gets dusty on the shelf, and we're not reading the word for today. We're not staying, because it just keeps us sharp. It's God's word to us. It's God's food for us. So simple. We all know this. And yet, I believe at the start of the year, God's saying, keep coming to church. Keep being in God's house. Keep being with his people. You'll be encouraged here or wherever your church is. But then also keep reading God's word for yourself. Keep feeding on the life of God. The word is the bread. It's the bread of life. Jesus is the word, is the bread of life, and Jesus was also the word made flesh. So we need to be feeding on God's word every day. Even if it's just 5 minutes, just read a few verses. Just keep it simple. Don't get too complicated, and don't think I'm gonna read for an hour and pray for 2 hours, because after a week you'll probably be giving up. Just 5 minutes at the start of your day, like what Brendan was saying. And I'm speaking to myself here as well. And also the third one, keep praying. Pretty simple stuff, isn't it? Let's keep interceding for our kids and our grandkids and our community and our church and our leaders and our government. Donald Trump, we need to be praying for that man, not criticizing him. Let's just really get in behind and pray for God's blessing on him and God's wisdom for him. And our government, what's her new prime minister? Oh, that's right, let's do this. Let's pray for her. Jacinda, we need to be praying for her. Need to be praying for our government. We need to be praying every day. And fourthly, as we do all these things, and as the Apostle Paul was saying to the Colossians, let's just keep Jesus at the center. Let's determine to keep Jesus at the center. At the end of the day, it's really a choice. What's at the center of our hearts and our lives and our families? And Paul's saying here, look, come on, guys, don't get distracted, don't get off this way and that, just keep Jesus at the center. Revelation chapter 22, verse 13. This is right at the end of the Bible, actually. I think it's the very last chapter in the Bible, in Revelation, where Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Now, when I was reading that verse, I noticed something a little bit strange about the writing there. Did you notice all the capitals? Normally, words like Alpha and Omega and first and last and the beginning and the end don't have capitals, do they? We learned about the M dash a few weeks ago, but sometimes, I think we've got to look at why are those in capitals? Because all of those words refer back to a person, and it's the person of Jesus Christ. He is the Alpha, which is the very first letter in the Greek alphabet, the beginning. And the Omega is the very last one. So Jesus is there from the beginning. We've been learning about that. He's a creator. He's the one who holds everything together. He's a sustainer of life. Right through to the end of time, Jesus needs to be number one. And he is the first, this is the, and the last, the beginning and the end. And it's all in capitals for a reason. Because if we can keep Jesus at the center, well, it'll make such a difference for us. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 tells us that salvation is found in no one else. I mean, we can have all these fancy ideas, and there's so many world religions, and there's so much mystical stuff, and people are seeking spiritual truth in all sorts of places. But the only place that salvation is found is in Jesus. No one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. We need to keep coming back to that. I just want to challenge you guys today. If you have never committed your life to Jesus, if you've never been baptized, why not? You know, to quote from Jacinda, let's do this. Let's just get on with this. It's the only way to be saved. It really is pretty simple. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. As we start the year, I think we just need to be reminded of stuff that actually we already know. The other thing as a church, you know, God has given us a vision or a mission to fulfill here. And this is particularly for the Surfside people today. God has already given us a blueprint of what he wants us to do as a church. In 2018, are we going to stick to the plan that God's given us? Are we going to stick to the path? Are we going to stay on track? Or are we going to get pulled this way and that and all over the place and end up confused with disunity and discouragement like what was happening? Or are we going to be faithful to what God has already asked us to do? And I'm saying this to you guys as well from your own churches. You've got pastors and leaders. You've got leadership. You've got things in place that God has called for your church specifically to fulfill. And no one else is going to do it if you don't. And if we don't do what God has called us to do here, there's going to be a lack in our community. So I want to put the challenge out there. Let's stay on track with what God has already asked us to do. And our Surfside 2021 vision. We're already 2 years into this. And I just want to, we'll have that up on the screen, Steph. Can we get that all right? Here we go. A church with Jesus at the center. I think we're in line with what Paul was talking about here to the Colossians when we say a church with Jesus at the center. A church beating with the heartbeat of Jesus. He tangata, he tangata, he tangata, which means the people, the people, the people. All people. A church with a tremendous mixture of people yet to come into God's house and call it home. Isn't that cool? God's actually got a purpose for us as a people to be a place where people can come and meet Jesus. If Jesus is at the center and people come in here, they're going to meet him and they're going to find salvation and freedom and life and eternal life. Where people come in and grow in faith, they discover purpose, become who they were created to be all along. Right back at the beginning, the Alpha, Jesus knew who was going to come in. And to excel in that place. Now, God's plan is not that we struggle along. It's not that we just sort of make it through another year. God wants us to excel. Isn't that cool? Yeah, I think God really wants you to excel. I haven't met you yet, but I just get a sense that, yeah, God's got good things for you this year. And he wants to take you to higher places and more exciting places than you've ever been in him. So hang in there. It's going to be a good year. Surfside 2021 will be a church that cannot be ignored. And I'll tell you what, our vision as a church is actually to bless this community. Not to be famous or anything just for the sake of it, but actually to make a difference here. To be an influence for good and for God right across this community. So that actually the whole atmosphere here is lifted. The whole atmosphere here is freer. When people visit Raglan, they come for a surf, they go to the cafes, they say, hey, this is a cool place. There's something special about this place. I mean, how often do we hear that? It's the presence of God that actually makes the biggest difference in a place. If we're worshiping, if we're praying, if we're reading our Bibles, we're just passionate for God and the vision that he's given us, it's just going to keep happening. It'll keep growing. It's going to be awesome. A church of influence established in the heart of Raglan, having an impact for God, beyond this community. You know, God doesn't want to limit us to anything small. He wants us to realize that he's got arms open wide for all cultures and all people everywhere. A church pulsing with life, passion, and energy. Now, we should never come along to church bored. We should never come along to church grumpy because we're not expecting anything. We should never come along it's okay to come along like that, but let's not leave like that. We shouldn't come along discouraged. We should come along excited because, hey, we can see what God's doing. A church that surprises because it is empowered by the Holy Spirit. At the end of the day, we can do everything right, but if we haven't got the anointing and the Holy Spirit and the blessing of God, it's not going to work, is it? So we really, like we were singing earlier, we really need the Holy Spirit touch on what we're doing. Whether it's Hannah and PNG, or whether it's us here in Raglan, or whether we're from Hamilton or Kansas or wherever it is, we need the Holy Spirit, don't we? A church about Jesus, number one, people, and purpose. That's our vision here at Surfside. Pretty simple. Jesus at the center. We love, like Hannah said, we love and embrace people. And together we all find our purpose in him and we grow together. We haven't got the answers, all of us, any of us. But together with God's Spirit, we're gonna do this. I just want to finish today by reading those few verses in Colossians from the Message Bible, because I think he puts it in a pretty cool way. I want you to realize, this is Paul speaking to the Colossians, to the Laodiceans, and to us here today. I want you to realize that I continue to work as hard as I know how to for you. Are we working hard too? And also for the Christians over at Laodicea. Not many of you have met me face to face, but that doesn't make any difference. Know that I'm on your side, right alongside you. You're not in this alone. That's what Paul wanted the people to know. I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. Then you will have your minds confident and at rest, focused on Christ, God's great mystery. All the richest treasures of wisdom and knowledge are embedded in that mystery, and nowhere else. Don't go looking anywhere else. Nowhere else. It's in Jesus. I'm telling you this because I don't want anyone leading you off on some wild goose chase after other so-called mysteries or the secret. I'm a long way off, true. That was Paul in prison speaking. You may never lay eyes on me. You might never see me. But believe me, I'm on your side, right beside you. I'm delighted to hear of the careful and orderly ways you conduct your affairs and impressed with the solid substance of your faith in Christ. He's impressed with the foundation that they've already got. And he's saying, come on, guys, keep going. Keep going in 2018. And as we do, all sorts of things are going to open up before us. So bless you guys. How about if we stand and let's worship and sing together and...